from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
To answer all those questions and more, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, because he, Caleb Johnson, normally on the Hawks beat, doing a little double dipping, was on the Dogs beat on Saturday afternoon and was in the building. Caleb, how are you?
I'm good, man.
All right, so let's start here. What did you see was the biggest difference between the tale of two halves for the Dogs, where they were stifled and then had an offensive explosion in the second half?
I think it's a mix of a couple of different things. For one, what I could see with my own two eyes and then got to hear from Carson Beck after the game was an offense that, you know, has a lot of new faces on it, and were a bit nervous, quite honestly, because you have to imagine, you know, think about the position that Georgia is in. They're starting off the season by playing a top 15 team in Clemson that a lot of people have written off, but you know still has talent on it, and all of the expectations are on Georgia to, you know, to run out as being the number one team in the country and to show it. And so what I saw was some decision making that I thought was smart but safe, and I think the play call from Mike Bobo, at least on offense, matched that of being like, hey, let's not be the team that makes any stupid mistakes that gets ourselves having to play from behind. And I think, you know, their approach to that, while also at the same time, you know, when they game planned for Clemson, they also got to watch tape on the Clemson offense and know that, hey, these guys don't really scare us. I mean, they might be able to pick us apart here or there, but as far as truly being a juggernaut offense, like, that's not what Clemson is. They're really strong defensively. And I think Clemson's defensive line showed out in a really big way early on until Georgia was able to get, you know, the running game going with Nate Frazier. And then some play calling opened up for Mike Bobo. I think the guys just felt more comfortable. And, you know, as this thing got rolling and there wasn't that fear of, oh, are we going to screw this thing up and you know, and be down to Clemson? No, once they started playing from ahead, they started playing much more free, and that's how you ultimately see, you know, a team dominate 34-3 in the way they did.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing, too, is, Caleb, the Georgia defensive front, I think, was maybe the biggest question mark of the team going into the season, but they only allowed 47 total rushing yards. What did you see on the field from the big guys up front?
I think they showed that they're still not the dominant defensive line that we had in 2021. But it's also, I mean, that's just, I don't know that it's ever going to get better than that, quite frankly. And so everything constantly gets compared to that. I think they're really good. Their ability to get after the quarterback is something that we obviously saw they were better at in the second half than they were in the first. Also, you know, this team dealing with injuries, the fact that they came into this game missing a couple of guys on the defensive line who were out, and then they lose a Warren Brinson, they lose a Michael Williams during the game. That also, I think, kind of limited them in a few ways as well, that they were quite honestly able to overcome. And you see a guy like Jalen Walker come out and just have an incredible day. And I think that is the biggest thing. It's like the defensive line, no, it's not as great as we've seen it, but it's still really, really good. And I think they showed enough that they're going to be just fine over the course of the season, even when they do get tested by the Alabamas and the Texases.
Talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson here. He was at the game covering it for us right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, of course, talking about Georgia and Clemson. So do you believe that there is not an issue per se, Caleb, but we have seen, as we talked about the slow start in this one, over the last couple of seasons, they have taken maybe a quarter and a half, sometimes a full half, like in this one, to really ramp it up and turn it on the offensive side. Do you predict that to be an issue this season as well, or do we just chalk it up to, like you said at the first answer of this interview, that it was just nerves?
I think to some extent this is what we saw was first game of the year, which typically is against an opponent like what they're going to see this Saturday, a Tennessee Tech, you know, a warm-up game. And so some of that is first game of the season. Some of this is just, I mean, Chris, it's, you know, after year after year, we've just kind of learned that Georgia is a bit of this kind of a team. Slow to start in games and really kind of work their way into it. I think some of it is players on the field, and then some of it is coaching staff of, like I mentioned, being on that, hey, you know, we've got a 3rd and 9 here. Let's run a screen and see if we can, you know, pop something loose versus let's be really aggressive and attack early on, which is going to be really tricky once you do get to an Alabama, you know, just 3 weeks away at this point. And then once you're in the real thick of your schedule and you face a Texas, like that is where I'm hoping, because those big games aren't at the beginning of the season, you know, you still get a few weeks to kind of ramp up, that Georgia is able to handle that in a better way. But also I think Georgia is going to be constantly leaning on how strong their defense is, not just the line of scrimmage, but also, I mean, just how great their secondary is. You obviously see, you know, an insane interception from Malachi Starks in that the game against Clemson. I think they're really strong in that secondary, and they're going to rely on their defense to keep them in close games and let them be a bit of a safer approach. Leaning on Carson Beck, obviously, with this being his final year.
I know you were, I don't know if you were in the room at the time, but I know you were at least making your way down to when Kirby Smart was speaking post-game, and he answered the question about Trevor Etienne's status for the game in only the way Kirby Smart could. Do you foresee this issue being put to bed after that?
I think so. He's going to play on Saturday. Look, I think, you know, some of the people that I talk to that I trust who cover this team on a daily, weekly basis rather than me just going to hit the home games, these guys all said, hey, this is a policy that the athletic department at the University of Georgia has had for years. This is not something that they just implemented after the issue they had, you know, last year. This is something that's been around for a while, that if you get a DUI, not if you're convicted, like even though Trevor Etienne got the charges dropped, if you are arrested for a DUI, there is either 10% if you're in a schedule that's like basketball, baseball, something like that, or one game if it is college football. And so, you know, I think it's weird that Kirby does this whole approach of, hey, you know, we don't talk about it. We just don't talk about it. Like, why not? Because everyone else is talking about it outside of the room, Kirby. So why can't you just be upfront and honest that, yes, Trevor did something wrong. We suspended him a game. We're moving on from here, which is what's going to happen on Saturday. I'm sure, you know, Chip Towers was the one to go and ask the question, and he didn't even get his question finished before Kirby was like, shit, you know, we don't talk about that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, but I still got to ask because, you know, I need to write and people need to report on these things. I think the more interesting thing is going to be how serious the injury to Mykael Williams is. He was given a grade 2 ankle sprain, so he is for sure not playing against Tennessee Tech on Saturday. But it's kind of, you know, he left the stadium on Saturday in a boot. So you got to wonder if that's just a 1 week thing or if this is a, you know, how close to the Alabama game is this going to be an issue? And then Warren Brenson, obviously, the tackle up there in the middle, you know, they're already thin there because Xavier McLeod and Jordan Hall are out. And so how serious is that? But sounded like Kirby thought that Warren Brenson should be able to play on Saturday. So it feels like the drama from the Trevor Etienne stuff is all put to bed, even if it's handled in a, just a very bizarre way of we're not talking about it, even though we dressed the guy and we got everyone seeing him on the field and going, oh, is this going to happen? But no, they stick to their rules. And follow the things, and he served his one-game suspension. And it's weird, too, because how crazy of a game did Nate Frazier have in this one? Got all kinds of talk about him, and then Nate's going to come into Saturday's game as running back number two, and he's just not going to get as many touches, even though we've seen that he's an incredible back. But it's really it's a good problem for Georgia to have.
Yeah, he really outshined Branson Robinson, who I thought, I mean, I had high hopes for, but maybe he'll get some more run later in the season. Before I let you go, how was the building, what was the split, and how was the energy?
So it's interesting. Initially, things were a bit skewed because in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Clemson fans were directly below and above the press box. So early on, I was like, oh, wow, okay, we've got a really good Clemson crowd, and things hadn't filled out yet because, you know, I mean, the craziness of everything that was going on in the city on Saturday, the traffic was absolutely insane. So it took a few minutes into the first quarter before everyone got in their seats, but then it was like, oh, no, okay, so this is more, I put it on the 65-70 Georgia fans versus Clemson fans. I don't think Georgia fans dominated quite as well as LSU fans did last night in Vegas, because that just felt like an insane LSU crowd versus USC when USC has the shorter trip. But Dog fans and just the crowd in general, very loud. And, you know, the smartest thing that Mercedes-Benz ever did was remove the glass in the press box so we can actually hear and feel the game as it's going on versus just getting it piped into speakers. And it was a loud and really fun crowd that kind of makes you excited for what you know is going to be not only coming up, you know, at Georgia home games, but in Tuscaloosa, in Austin, when Georgia takes on some big opponents. And I'm very curious to see how all of these things affect as Carson Beck and, you know, all the quarterbacks have that new in-helmet communication. It's just kind of a new wrinkle to things that Carson said he liked having the in-ear, you know, being able to have that communication with Mike Bobo. Said he, you know, things moved a lot faster that way than having the cards and the play calls on the sidelines. But once you get in some of these loud places, that I think Mercedes-Benz was probably, you know, 70 to 75% as far as a volume level that we'll expect Georgia to experience the rest of the way. But definitely a good test for what they're going to face.
All right, Caleb, appreciate the time. As always, we'll check in with you again soon, talking Dogs. And before we know it, the other guys in town will be sitting up and hitting the hardwood.
They'll be here, man. And I'm, you know, it's funny. It feels like the offseason lasts so long, and then you blink and it's October and we've got basketball going on. So it's not that far away.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy the rest of the holiday, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.